So he says, "For lo, I'll come in, and I'll sift the house of Israel among all nations, like corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth." How many nations?
All nations.
We heard from our aunt, who was a missionary over in China, that those Chinamen with slanted eyes, while those missionaries were over there talking to them, they took them to a Chinese synagogue, and there was the Torah. This was back in about, when was it?
Just before the Second War.
1930s. There's this Chinaman looking for all the world like regular Chinaman going to the synagogue every Saturday to read the law of Moses. And he's going to sift them and put them in what? How many lands?
All nations.
On the earth. Now this becomes very important to me, and here's the reason. I have here a paper, and for those of you who want it, most of you have already had a chance to get these, but we just sent away for another batch. And so they're available now, and they cost
50 cents,
but if you don't have 50 cents, take one. But if you do, leave it. And these all talk about a tremendous, marvelous revelation concerning the Bible in stone. But I determined a long time ago, but I redetermined a few weeks ago, that I'm going to never pit the grapes anymore. I'm not going to pit the grapes anymore. And this particular book has a lot of good grape meat. It's good grapes. And it's got some seeds. Now, most pastors are interested in feeding lambs. So then they would pit the... to keep you from choking on the... seeds. Well, I'm not feeding lambs. God didn't call me to feed lambs. God called me to train kings and priests. And if you're going to be a king and priest, you got to know that there's some seedy grapes. Okay? So when you go through this kind of stuff, eat the grapes and spit out the seeds. This has got some seeds in it. I'm not finding fault with these seeds. These people who put this out are quite brilliant people. They're good Bible students. But they have a concept here that I think is a little seedy. And the concept basically is what we call British Israel. How many have heard of British Israel? And I think it's a seedy concept because they believe that Israel became Ephraim and Manasseh. But this just told you that Israel went to what? How many nations?
All nations.
All nations. Therefore, in a sense, the British Israel concept is right, but in a sense is wrong. For when it teaches exclusivism, that Anglo-Saxon peoples are exclusively God's chosen peoples, I believe that's incorrect. However, it's very obvious to me that Anglo-Saxon people are God's chosen people, but not exclusively. Am I making sense to you? Therefore, as you read this magazine, you'll find a lot of good stuff about the pyramid, about date setting, some tremendous things about the Bible in stone, and showing you over and over. You can't read that without believing in the Bible. And even if you don't believe the Bible, when you start reading it, by the time you finish, it's, wow. You know, either this is a bunch of silliness and reject it all, but once you see the scientific facts, you just have to believe the Bible. It really proves it. But also, in the book, there are some sections there which would have you believe that in an exclusive way, God is dealing with the Anglo-Saxon people. And I don't believe it's just exclusive. I think definitely he is dealing with the Anglo-Saxon people. And so, in a sense, I believe in British Israelism. But I don't believe it in an exclusive way at all. Am I making sense to you on this? So, therefore, I want you to, when you take that particular magazine, eat the grapes, and what do you do with the seeds? Let them go. See? We're not asking you to eat the seeds, too. Well, in this case, it says that Israel went to all the nations. I want to read some more because I want to have a glory spell now. All the sinners of my people have died by the sword, would say, evil shall not overtake and prevent us. That sounds like the tape we heard tonight. I'll say again, maybe you didn't connect that with the tape. The sinners of my people shall die by the sword, would say, the evil shall not overtake and prevent us. Now, what we've been trying to tell you over and over again, the body of Christ will go through the tribulation victoriously. Don't get the idea that you're going to get zipped out of here and get a double whammy and a zappy right before the bad things start. Jesus told us over and over again, in the world you what? Shall have tribulation. And it says here that these bad guys are saying that the evil shall not overtake us. Which, to me, is kind of an indication that if you go around telling people that the evil's not going to come upon the land and that all the guys are going to get out of it, it marks you as a false prophet. How many know that Jeremiah told him, oh yeah? He said, it is too going to hit us, and you'd better get yourself in shape to go through it, not get whammied out of it. How many remember that? And so the false prophets came up and said, oh no, we're going to get out of this. And they took the true prophet and lambasted him, right? Put him in prison. And finally, in a big deep well, just like Joseph. And it says right here that it was the bad guys that said the evil will not come upon us. Now, verse 11 says, but that's not the end. Keeps on going. In that day. What day? The day of the Lord. I will raise up the tabernacle of David that's fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Listen, friends, the tabernacle of David is beyond Moses. For David was a king and a priest, and instituted a whole new order of worship. Moses didn't tell 288 captains to take their course and worship before the Lord. Moses didn't do that. It was King David who set up a whole new way to worship God, and took the tabernacle of God, which was the holy place, or the Holy of Holies, and exposed it to the whole people. The tabernacle of David takes the Holy of Holies and makes it available, not just to Levi, not just to Aaron, but to all the people. Makes every man a priest before God himself, and makes every man answerable to God himself. The tabernacle of David is a step beyond Moses' law. And David said, if you think this is vile, you ain't seen nothing yet. How many remember? David danced before the Lord, and they said, oh, you nasty man. And he said, if you think this is vile, I'll do something more vile before the Lord. I know. Oh, you ought to see your expressions. You see, you're under Moses. You're under Moses. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. And all, now I want you to see this, that it's the good guys are going to possess Edom. We're going to get that in a minute now. And all the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the troyer of grapes him that soweth the seed. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Now that sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? We start out with a bad thing. Now the tabernacle of David is revealed. Now the good stuff starts. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they'll build away cities and inhabit them. They'll plant vineyards, drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruits of them. Sounds good. and I'll plant them upon their land. They will no more be pulled up out of the land which I've given them, saith the Lord our God. Now keep your finger there and go to Obadiah 21. There's only one chapter, so they don't use chapter in Obadiah. It's just Obadiah 21. Hey, keep your finger there. It's in the very same. You don't have to even hardly move a page. Obadiah 21. Now saviors, plural, shall come up on what?
Mount Zion
to judge the mount of
Esau,
that's Edom, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now that says plural saviors, is that correct? Saviors, plural. Now we normally think in terms of one savior, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is he? Jesus Christ. But in this case, many saviors, plural, shall come up on Mount Zion. And now, many saviors, plural. Now we got to get some scriptures there to prove something, because I can see we got a little problem here. Somebody said, oh yeah, Jesus is the only savior. Well, let's see. Somebody turn to 1 Timothy 4:16 and read it. Okay, I got it, so I'm going to read it myself. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both, say it, save thyself and them that hear thee. Now there's a shocker. This says do what's right and you'll save yourself and the others, those that are hearing you. So then, following after God, following the doctrine of God, will bring not only salvation to self, but to the ones that are around you. But we thought salvation only was from Jesus Christ. And now this says that there's another salvation that's to be brought through you, doing what God told you to do. But we know that Jesus, now here's the whole point of the story, has already saved my spirit. The Holy Ghost is saving my mind, soul. The glory of the Father is going to have it, this physical body. And these bodies are going to be saved as well. And those that are going to come into body salvation are going to be a many-membered body who will bring forth salvation to the whole world. As Joseph saved the body of the world, the physical bodies, the body of Christ, which is his church, is going to save the whole world. I apologize for not finishing this in an hour, but how many can tell this is a pretty complicated lesson? How many get the idea of it anyway? How it goes along and each side says the same thing as the other side? Okay, James 1:1 is a fascinating scripture to me. James 1:1. Got it there? James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the what?
12 tribes.
To the 12 tribes, which are... This man must have thought he was talking to... Well, James was Judah. He was a Jew. And he's now talking to the 12 tribes, which means he's talking to these two and these 10... And he knows that they're scattered abroad, and we already know that they were scattered, 2 Kings 17:23. So he's talking to all Israel now. And somehow he thinks that God is keeping track of those guys. And those that have been scattered like corn in a sieve over the whole earth, God's keeping track of. And he writes a letter to them. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trials and tribulations. Count it all joy, brethren, when you go out of the frying pan into the
fire,
knowing that this is working for your perfection and your patience. It begins to explain to them that they've got to straighten up and they've got to turn into something. And these trials and experiences are going to turn them into something. And they're going to become saviors of the whole world. Jesus Christ in Matthew 28:19 said, "Go ye therefore unto all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all the things that I've commanded you." Some people believe that that has to do with getting wet. I don't. That is a command to teach. Go into all nations, teaching them. The baptism referred to here is a teaching baptism, not a getting wet baptism. The getting wet baptism is over there in Acts 2:38. Some people get mad when you do those kind of things. Okay. All the world, the gospel went out, and he told these to take the gospel to all the world, and they went to all the world, either before the salvation, after the salvation, or even after James was writing. It was still to all the ones that were scattered in all the world. Now we found out by Obadiah 21 that many saviors shall come from Mount Zion. Now we'll look in Romans chapter 8. Sorry, it's Romans 11. I just did that so I could get there first. Now, I'll start in verse 26. I guess I'll go to 25 because that helps my other point I was trying to make. "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now in this case he's obviously talking about Jews, though the word Israel is interchangeable. That's the hard part. "So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of what? Zion, which is the same as Mount Zion we saw in Obadiah 21, the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob." Is that past, present, or future? Most people think that's past and think that the deliverer, the savior that came from Mount Zion was Jesus. Isn't that right? But we know all Israel shall be saved, and there shall come from Mount Zion a savior, deliverer. And we just saw that according to Obadiah 21, this deliverer is a many-membered body that comes from Mount Zion that will bring this deliverance. That's future tense, not past tense. This can't refer to Jesus Christ because that's past. When he wrote the thing, it was past. He says in the future there's going to be a further salvation. I tell you, this gives me a glory spell. I hope this thrills you as much as it does me. There's a future, something more. Now, we had a nice time in church when we talked about what happened. Praise God for what happened and the altar and how people said yes to what happened and came to the altar and said yes to Jesus. Now let's talk about what's going to happen. And there will be from Zion saviors, plural, who shall judge the mount of Esau. That's sin. And doing dirt to your family. It was Esau, the cousin of Israel, that hurt them. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Future tense. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Let's do that again. Now, as concerning the gospel, these are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they're beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And he's going to deal with them right to the very end. Just like he's dealing with these. And he used them to bring forth his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And he's going to save them. For as ye in times past have not believed in God, this guy, these here, because they left and went over and were all around, yet now have obtained, what's the next word? Did you obtain mercy? Praise God. And it was through their unbelief. Because if you'll remember, it was because of their unbelief they left the Jews and went to the Gentiles. Now I'll say that again. If the Jews would have accepted the message of Jesus Christ, there would have been no messengers to the Gentiles. Vital to see. They had kept it with the Jews. So it says, even so have these also now not believed that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Then how will these Jews get saved? Through your mercy. These are going to get saved when you save them. And what's the trick? Giving them your mercy. Now you remember last week, what's the only thing you can grant? Mercy. That's the only thing you can grant. You're going to do what Jesus said. So now, he blinded them, hardened them, so that the gospel would then go out to the whole world. Because if they hadn't have, you remember Peter and all those rest of them would have stayed with the Jews. And it was Paul who said, because you Jews won't hear me, now I'm turning to the Gentiles. And blindness in part has happened to them so that the Gentiles might receive. And because of their blindness, you're saved. Now, you're going to have to save the blind one. The ones that got the eye trouble. By granting them your mercy. Is this making sense to any Bible students here? I tell you. I'm not finished. Same section. Oh, the depth of the riches. Both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. And we're rediscovering the ways of God and their mercy. And a second chance. And these got a second chance. And these are getting a second chance. And all Israel shall be saved. Saved. The depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment. His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore. What's the therefore, therefore? It connects what was just said. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be ye transformed. You remember the word transformed? What does that mean? Be ye butterflied, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Brethren, that's what the therefore is there for. Because this world's not going to get saved until you get saved. Spirit, soul, and body. The whole creation is groaning for this manifestation. The manifestation of the sons of God. How many know Romans 8:28? Romans 8. This whole creation is groaning for this, waiting for this. They've got to have it, and this whole green earth has got to. It's groaning for a manifestation of sons of God. Those who will bring salvation. But they themselves had to be first saved. Then they went through the process. First through spirit. Did you say yes to Jesus? Then the soul. Did you say yes to the Holy Ghost? Finally the body. Are you saying yes to the glory of God? Have you looked in the mirror lately?
Hallelujah.
You know what it says? And we're all with open face, beholding as in a glass mirror the glory of the the glory of the Lord. Are changed in that same image. Being, yeah. From glory unto glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord.
Praise God.
Are you looking for it? Are you expecting it? The process, he just told you, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, present your and be transformed by the changing of your minds. James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Present tense salvation. Past tense is already done. Our spirits are all right. I'm not worried about your spirit, your heart. I'm not worried about that. The thing that I'm interested in is your head. And getting you to say yes first to Jesus and then yes to the Holy Ghost so you can get a hold of your head. And then what? Going through more and more mind changes so the glory of the Father can inhabit these physical bodies. You see, the scriptures say you are gods and the scripture cannot be broken. How many know that? Is that what Jesus said? And he meant it too. But here's the problem. We're fighting against principalities and powers in high places. And it's got to change. Attitudes have to keep changing. And as you keep changing in your attitudes, your physical bodies keep changing and being restored and come into perfection.
And the whole earth is groaning, waiting for this manifestation. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, just before the rapture. Don't know whether I can make it or not. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. Verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they who've gone on and died in faith, without us, those who are alive and remain, should not be made perfect. There won't be a rapture. There won't be a resurrection. There'll not be anybody coming back from heaven until this group is made perfect. Some say the rapture is waiting until we've translated the Bible into all the languages. Some say the rapture is waiting until every ear is heard. This tells me there'll be no resurrection, no coming back, until this group, the ones that are alive and remain, are made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are the great cloud of witnesses? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The whole list of 19 champions of faith. Why, time would fail to tell of Barak and Gideon and Samson and Jephthah. This great cloud of witnesses, and you know what that means? All that have gone on and have not entered into the final perfection, the perfection of the body, cannot be made perfect until this group enters in. And when you enter into perfection, you become the third Adam. The first Adam caused the trouble. The second Adam became the pattern son. The third Adam is that group of sons, joint heirs with Christ, those who will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And Jesus said to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcome and am sitting in my Father's throne. Jesus said, it is finished. I'm not doing any more. Jesus is not going to do anything else. He said, I give you power to tread on scorpions, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out demons. Somebody said, Jesus, come heal me. Jesus said, it's finished. My stripes have already paid for your healing. Accept the work I've already done. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not coming back to do any more work. Jesus will not bring you the kingdom. Jesus said, when I come back, it's to receive the kingdom, and you're to take it. And Daniel said, I saw and beheld until the saints prevailed and took the kingdom. And Daniel said, I saw a rock carved out of the mountain without hands. And that rock began to roll down the side of this great mountain. And it crushed the feet of that great image and blew into powder. And the rock began to grow. And the rock itself became a great mountain and finally filled the whole earth. And the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we'll say no more to any man, know the Lord, for all men shall know the Lord. And we will study war no more. What a destiny. What a divine destiny. How great salvation. What a plan. Who would have thought it? I have not seen, neither ear heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God is revealing them to us through his Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a day. How great salvation. They will be saved by your mercy. By your mercy, they'll all be saved. Can you do it? Will you do it? Will you stand with me and pray? Our Father, of ourselves, we realize that we can do nothing. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will do everything. We don't have the might nor the power, but by your Spirit, all the things that have been accomplished have been works of your Spirit. For the future, Lord, we know we can't do anything. But by your Spirit we can. And so now we agree with Paul that every spirit, every soul, and every body shall be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Alleluia.
Salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your great deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.